Welcome to the Salty Seekers, where you can hang out with friends and talk about all areas of spirituality and the metaphysical while knowing you don't have to be pure love and light to do it. Hi, and welcome back to the Salty Seekers. It's good to have you back. My name is Veronica, and this is my co-host, Jay. And today we are talking about viewer questions. We've had several of them kind of piling up over here. So we're going to take a little while and just go through some of them. And if you have questions, all of the information to contact us is in the show notes or in the description box. Please feel free to contact us however you like. All right, Jay, you want to read the first one?
This is a long question we got on one of the videos. I think this comes from YouTube. Essentially, this user has tried all the stuff. I'm summarizing. Now, they've gone through angel, tarot, numerology, pendulums, crystals, you name it, they've tried it. But up to this point, they feel like they haven't got through to the point where, like, I'm quoting, they feel dense, that they're not hearing anything back. And some days they want to give up. And when I was reading this, I get it. Boy, I get it. Because there are some days I can hear stuff. There are some days I can see stuff. And there are other days, nothing. Life gets in the way. But I completely get this question. I don't know. Veronica, do you relate to this?
Yeah, I think we all relate to this. If you're on this path, you're going to relate to this because, first of all, there are times in life where, you know, there are seasons of abounding and seasons of abasing. Is that the word? I have to Google. Hang on. Is that a word or is that just something I made up?
You got to use them small words with me. You know where I'm from.
It's a word. Okay. All right. I was right. Anyways, there are seasons where things are going to be flowing and growing, and there are times where they're not. You have more down cycles. And so that's the first thing. You're going to have times where you're doing better, you're feeling more, you're paying more attention than others. Two, this may have more to do with a lesson that you have. Maybe you're contracted to learn lessons such as, even when I feel cut off and I can't hear spirit, how I should just keep going and acting in faith and doing the right thing to help myself grow. The third thing is what I see a lot is that you just haven't learned, even after all the time that you mentioned. You said you're in your 60s now, Diane, but even after all that time, you've never learned how to recognize when spirit is talking to you or what that looks like or what your, for example, clairaudience might show up as in your life. You just don't know what to recognize. So therefore, you think you're not hearing anything back. I hope that made sense.
Just be patient with it. It's like Veronica said, you're learning, you're growing. This might be part of a lesson.
Yeah.
Trying to develop that, or this is the path you chose. For me, just be patient. When you get frustrated, take a breath, walk away. And that can apply to darn near everything in life, really. Just take a moment, walk away, and clear your mind. And you never know what you're going to encounter. I ask lots of questions, and I've learned over these last many years that I don't always get very specific answers. And I've also learned that it could be that I'm just not ready for those specific answers, or that it's not really important for me to know that, because, you know, we're all curious. You want to know the juicy details of this and that or whatever. And in no way, shape, or form does that impact or apply to what you're doing. So it could be they get you're curious, but that isn't a part of your path. So just stay patient. Just keep practicing, do your meditations, and, you know, be grateful. I think for me, gratitude is going to be one of the biggest things. Just be grateful for what you do have. I was talking with Veronica the other day, and I applied a lesson she gave me, and it started working. I had never thought of this, but I asked my guides. I'm like, hey, guys, in my dreams that I can remember, show me how these different gifts interact with me. And I finally started having dreams of clairaudience. Up to this point, when it does happen, because I often get popped out. What I mean by that is I get so excited or startled when I hear words all the time. But what I mean is, I'll get an answer, direct answers. And I get so excited. I call it, I pop out of that vibration because I'm like, it's too much. But in the dream, I was flowing back and forth and it was going well. So they finally showed me how it should work. And so I've continued to ask for this. Open yourself up to the teachings. That way, you know, let them know you want that help. And you may have, and just keep trying and stay patient with it. It's a journey. We're all on different paths. Like I get, you know, other episodes we've talked about, I'll get jealous of Veronica's clairsentience and just how much she can feel. And you know, I'm not like, oh my God, girl. No, I want to feel like her. I want to, it looks beautiful from the outside. I don't get those kind of feelings, but I know I'm going to keep practicing at it. I'm going to keep going and I'm going to enjoy the journey.
I love that. So to summarize or to reiterate what Jay just said. Keep going, keep trying. Even if you feel like you've been doing it for a long time, keep going. We are going to be making a video soon on the clairs and how you can help develop your different spiritual gifts, what to look for with them. But if you don't want to wait for that video, I will link to some of my videos over on the Wholeness Shift. I'll put them in the description box in case you haven't seen them yet. They're videos on how to recognize when spirit speaks to you and different ways that your spirit guides might show up or ways to hear them. The other thing that Jay mentioned was that tip that I gave him. And I recommend this to everybody because this is how spirit helped me develop many of my gifts. They even taught me how to drive stick shift. With this is ask them to show you in your dreams. And yeah, back in the 90s, my husband at the time bought a new Mustang and it was a stick shift. And I think he did it on purpose because he knew I couldn't drive one. He didn't want me driving his car. And I had a dream one night that I was in the parking lot at the mall. There was a guy that I now know was my guide, Spomi, and he was teaching me how to drive stick. And he's teaching me how to move my feet, how to, you know, work the clutch, how to shift. And the next day when I got up, we were going somewhere and I'm like, I want to drive. He's like, you can't drive this. And I'm like, yes, I can. Watch. And I could drive stick from that day forward. But they also helped me to learn how to focus when meditating. They've taught me how to recognize my clairaudience, all of this in dreams. So if you're a person who dreams and remembers their dreams or has vivid dreams, ask them to show you what you're missing or to teach you how to recognize when they're talking to you. I hope this helps, Diane. If you have anything else for us, let us know and we will get back
to
you.
We can help you not only with spiritual gifts, but stick shifts. We're on this.
Yeah. You know, spirit, they're full service. I didn't even really know who they were at the time and they did.
That really segues into the next question because the next one is skill development. So we will be doing a video on that, but Sharon asks, skill development of better communication with spirit guides. She struggles to ask specific questions to get answers that I understand. The vague answers I get confuse me, sort of. And I get that. I had to learn the hard way. Here's one of my examples. In the beginning, I asked, hey, can I go get a pendulum? And what I meant was, can I get a pendulum? And we use it. But I didn't say that. I said, can I get a pendulum? And boy, I got a yes. And I went and got that pendulum and I brought it home and it did not move. And it wasn't until I was ready that it did move. So there's been other examples, but you have to be very specific because you're going to get a very specific answer. So
we say it's like Genie from Aladdin. You have to be specific with your question. Say exactly what you mean. If you say, can I go to the store? They're going to be like, yeah. No. But if you're like, is it in my best interest to go to the store? They might be like, no, there's going to be a fire over there or you're going to get in an accident. Ask the questions to get the answers that you're looking for. The other thing that you need to know about spirit, if you don't already know, is that spirit is not flowery. They don't give long, elaborate answers. If they're going to give you answers, they're going to be short, sweet, to the point, just the information that you need or asked for. You know, like, hey, is it in my best interest to get a new job? And they'll be like, yeah. They're not going to be like, oh my God, yeah. Girl, I'm so glad you asked.
The last 3 or 4 months, I kept asking, is it in my best interest to rage quit? I'd always get a no, but I kept asking.
Well, if you had rage quit, you wouldn't have gotten unemployment or, you know, other things that helped you. I mean, they at least paid for these expensive groceries in this day and age, right?
Employment's enough for a half dozen eggs, I tell you.
If you are using a pendulum or something like that, some other kind of divination thing, and you're getting long, flowery answers, that is likely a trickster, is not your guide. Guides give very short, sweet, to the point, and they don't like to give you more than you need. You know, we were just talking about this a few nights ago when I was talking about how Spomi is always just like, you don't need to know that. It just doesn't matter. You may want to know it. Or, you know, that's how I would usually respond, but I want to know. And he'd be like, if I told you, would it make any difference in your life? I'm like, no. And he's like, okay, then we need to focus on the priorities, which are helping you grow, helping you be a better human being, things like that. But if I'm like, what's in that room in Area 51 and that was mentioned in this CIA document? He's going to be like, no, you don't need to know that. Mind your business. Yeah. Guides are
from
good
that dream thing. Ask them to show you how to use your gifts in the dream. Then, you know, in your meditation, and this comes from Veronica. Ask them to show you what a yes is, and ask them to show you what a no is. That way it's definitive for you. And then from there, you know, make your question specific, but really look at what's important. What are you trying to do? Are you trying to do it, you know, to improve you, to better your gifts, to help? Or are you doing what she was talking about, like, is Bigfoot really out there? I mean, I want to know too. So if you get that answer, cool. But, you know, does that impact you on a day-to-day basis? Is that improving your journey? But yeah, let me know about Bigfoot. I'm curious.
I think that answer would be a yes. But the other thing is that by saying you're not getting the answers you're looking for or all the detail you're looking for, as we've already said, spirit's probably not going to give you all the detail. They're going to give you short, sweet answers. But even if you're looking for detail or directions to follow, they might give you the very shortest cliff note version of something you could do, like start meditating. Or, you know, something like that. Or when I was getting ready to move home and I asked a question, they might be like, you should get packing. You should be packing. Things like that. But if I'm like, what's my life like going to be like when I move back to Ohio? They might say nice or good, but they're not going to be like, well, you start dating so-and-so on this day and this is going to be your new boss's name. And oh, you should remember to do this thing. No, because you have free will and it's up to you to decide how your path is going to wind, where you're going to end up. They cannot spell it out for you. They can give you short, sweet answers for the timeline you're currently on, but the rest of it's up to you. It's their job to guide and support you on the path, but they're not going to answer the questions for you. Hope that helped and didn't make it worse.
Just have faith. They're working in your best interest. It's going to be okay.
Pay attention to your intuition. I mean, that's where it's all at. You have the answers already in you. You know the best things for you. You know the right path to take. And if you don't think you do, close your eyes, tune in with yourself, and ask again. You know what your gut is telling you. Intuition, especially as a woman, your women's intuition, on point. So just keep following your gut.
Moving on to our next question from, let's see, paranormal researcher. He's new to meditation. I read this one. I was like, oh, this is right up. This is what I experienced, but new to meditation. And after a few minutes, I have a pressure behind my eyes and he starts seeing the color purple and it's really bright, changes shapes and dances around. The pressure is quite unnerving. Could you please explain what's going on? And thanks again. Now, for me, it's, we were just talking about this before the podcast. I was driving around today and I started feeling kind of off. The pressure turned on. I was like, I don't know if I'm leveling up or what's going on. But yeah, I get that third eye pressure quite often in meditation. In the beginning, I used to see a lot of colors and they would dance around and kind of remind me of the like the 90s screensaver Windows had. The colors would just bounce around. That would happen a lot in the beginning for me. Now, when I do get that, I see stuff. I see places. I see people or someone looking at me. I don't really see the colors and shapes as much. Maybe Verona can speak to it more. Maybe it's, you know, your third eye's opening.
Purple is the color of the third eye. And lavender/white, some people see it differently, is the color of your crown chakra. And as your third eye is opening, you're going to feel, some people feel tingling, some people feel pressure. It's all completely normal if you're on the right track. Whenever that's happening, you are developing new pathways in your brain and you are literally growing your brain. And until you have gone to that next level and accomplished that work, you're going to have weird symptoms. You can have weird neurologic symptoms like we were just talking about earlier, like you just said. And I was like, yeah, that used to happen to me all the time. Anytime that I level up, I feel kind of wobbly and wonky. And then I'll have episodes where it's not really vertigo, but it feels like the whole world tilts and it's just for a couple of seconds, but it'll be like, whoomp, and then everything comes back. And I know that, like, okay, ride the wave. This isn't going to last long. I'm just leveling up, keep going. And so I'll just keep meditating and stuff. And in a couple of days, it'll calm down. And then the next time I'm leveling up, it'll do it again. But yeah, this is all normal. Your third eye is opening. Your crown is opening, which are all good things. And if you're meditating, I assume that's what you've been wanting. So keep going, stay the course. The pressure shouldn't be too much. But with that being said, if you feel like it's too much, back off a little bit. I don't know how long you've been meditating each day, whether it's 15 minutes or if you like went head first and are sitting there meditating 3 hours, which if that's the case, like hold up, you might want to stop for a little bit. 15 minutes might be more on it for you. So, you know, if it's too much for you, back off a little bit. But if you just keep going, it should be okay. It shouldn't last too long.
This next question is right up your alley. See, from Willie. I'm very excited about this. Maybe you can talk about different aliens, both living with us and abroad. Abroad, I guess that's really vague. And different star systems, dimensions, and whatnot. My extent of alien knowledge as of recent, I've started getting imagery of them just in my mind's eye. And I immediately call Veronica every time excited, like, this is what I've seen. She definitely has way more knowledge on it. Here recently, I've seen blue and a brownish one. But I couldn't tell you much more. I've just been allowed to see the images in meditation and or dreams. We were discussing it. I think they're kind of gauging or getting me used to seeing it at this point so I don't freak out.
I freak out every time. But it excites me that you've seen the blue one and that the brown one you're describing sounds like the brown one that has been in my dreams multiple times, which doesn't surprise me. Because you and I go way, way back, many lifetimes, many experiences, secret space program together, all the things. It doesn't surprise me that we would have the same star family or star friends or star guides. Doesn't surprise me. But before I get into it, I want to say, hey, Willie. And Willie is one of my longest, most supportive viewers and just always a sweet, supportive guy to have behind me, cheering me on. I can say that we will likely do a longer episode on this topic at a later time, because if we just sat down and start talking about it, it would probably be like 3 hours long. So for the sake of time, I'll just give you a brief overview, and I'm not going to be able to hit all of them on this episode, but we will plan to do that at some time in the future for sure. So I will start with the ones that are most familiar to myself, which are Pleiadians. And if you're clairsentient at all, as I'm naming off these types, ask to be connected to their energy. Pleiadian energy is one of the first energies I ever asked to be connected to. And holy moly, their energy feels like the most sensual, velvety butter that just rolls over you. It's lovely and it's powerful, but it's just, wow. It's unmistakable. Pleiadians are our friends. All these guys are our friends. Let's be honest. Most of them anyways. Pleiadians are host to multiple communities. You can hear the term Pleiadian, but you still don't know what you're going to get because they have multiple planets or stars within their star system, within the Pleiades, and they also have a lot of refugees. So, for example, my lion guide, his name is Gnobersut, and he is a Pleiadian guide, but he was a refugee to the Pleiades. He's not from there. Pleiadians are very helpful with love and healing and peaceful, calming, stuff like that. Arcturians are blue, typically, and from Arcturus. They are very smart, kind of technical, in my experience, smart, technical, not too emotional, mushy-gushy, but very loving and kind and supportive, just good, beautiful energy. And to me, can you guys please connect me to the energy of Nirax? She just makes me smile. I get really big third eye and heart energy from her. She's my Arcturian guide and yours, Jay. We established that a long time ago.
So I saw the other day.
Yeah, maybe. Let's see who else. I already talked about my lion guide. Lion guides. Oh my goodness. You know, there are a lot of different planetary systems that have lion and cat beings. My particular guide, he has a very regal. Can you connect me to Gnobersut's energy, please? It's just very like you want to stand like the king of the jungle. You want to stand upright. You feel very powerful. A lot of sacral chakra energy. You feel full of self-confidence and power. Like, you've got this. So that's very helpful. He tends to come around whenever I'm starting new projects, new jobs, things where in my nature, where I'm so shy and introverted, and I'm just like, I don't know if I can do this. Like, I'm intimidated by something and I kind of just want to crawl in a hole and hide and pretend like it doesn't exist. He tends to show up a lot and I find myself just standing up taller and like, I can face this. I have the confidence to do it. There are insectoid beings. I personally have a mantis being guide. And let me just pause there. Just like with people, there are people who are enlightened and then there are people who are in their shadow. Same with all of these beings. There are no beings that are all good or all bad. So, for example, with the mantis beings, a lot of the insectoid beings are known to be a little more malevolent, if you will, but not all of them. Some of them are good. And I call my mantis being Manny because I don't know his name. So I just call him Manny for mantis. And so, Manny, can you connect me to Manny's energy, please? Manny feels like he is a million years old and the smartest being in the universe to me. He feels very third eye and head, not so much in a crown chakra way, but in a brainiac kind of way, like so super smart, intimidatingly smart. Like if you have any question about anything, he is the guy to show you the technical details of it and not emotional, not warm and fuzzy, not unkind, but not all schmoopy. Like I can be, or like our entities with more of a feeling body could be. Manny's just more of a stick to the facts, ma'am, type of being. And so he's here to help me with knowledge and technical stuff and learning, figuring out how to do things, because I'm always figuring out how to do something, a new project, a new skill, a new something. I'm assuming he's here to help me with those kind of things. Let's see, who else? Who am I forgetting? Do you have any that are coming to your mind that I'm not thinking
You're
of?
leaps and bounds ahead of me on this one. I'm just now starting to get images of them and don't really know much about them yet.
Oh, Blue Avian. Thank you. Blue Avian. I do have some Blue Avian connections. Blue Avians are stinking awesome. They're really great. They're blue, obviously. They have bird-like features. They're humanoid. Like they have legs and arms, but they have bird-like features. They look like a big blue bird with a human body. They're funny. Those are beings that will crack a joke a minute and like make you laugh. They're just lighthearted, good-hearted, loving, big, tall beings and very, very high vibrating. I mean, they all are, but like blue avians, you can feel the difference. Like they are up there. The brown beings that I see all the time, I'm not sure what race that is. It's not anything I recognize. There are other ones that I don't. Well, I'm being corrected. Like, yes, you do. This is one of those hangups where I'm in resistance to something. And I have to give myself the pep talk that I just gave a minute ago of like, nothing is all good or bad. There are good ones like reptilians. Reptilians are, they're reptile beings and they don't have an emotional body. And most of them can just be malevolent. They're malicious. They look at humans as kind of, I want to say subhuman, but you know what I'm saying? Like they don't give humans the value. And so they could care less. You're a means to an end. Like they want some of your DNA matter or something so that they can. It's my understanding, and I could be wrong. It's my understanding that they and one of the kinds of grays are trying to do tests to help weave the emotional body that humans have in full force back into their DNA. 'Cause like they want to see what that's like. They want to replicate with that. So they're trying to figure that out. So they want something from you, but they could care less if they hurt you. Honestly, they don't care. They don't care if you live or die. The grays, it's my understanding that there are two kinds of grays. And I'm told that I have ties to Swami. Am I right? I have tie to reptilians. Yes, but good ones, right? I mean, he's going, there's no good or bad. Benevolent ones, right? And the grays, same. Yes. Okay. The grays that are in the uniforms, or okay, or the grays that are actual beings, both. Okay, I'm a busy girl apparently. So I'm told that I have ties to benevolent, which more evolved reptilians, and the same for both kinds of grays. So there is a kind of gray that's an actual being. There's a kind of gray that's more like an evolved sentient AI, that they're just their consciousness in like a little robot body that was created to come do the work. if you will, whenever you tend to hear about alien kidnappings and stuff like that, they're typically with the grays. The grays are what you typically think of when you think of an alien, like the gray with the big black eyes. But just like I said with the other ones, there are malevolent and benevolent, and there are, you know, are more evolved species. I don't want to go too long on this topic. We will cover more in another episode. But if there's any one specific race that you have questions on, make sure you either send it to me or leave it in the comments on the video, something, get it to me. That way I know to make sure I don't miss it for you.
So moving on to our next question from Mary, anything to do with the spiritual awakening and how to navigate it? First, I would say grace. Give yourself grace, patience, and love. Essentially, it's not going to happen overnight. You know, your ego might kick in and it's like, ah, okay, I'm doing the spiritual awakening. Let's turn everything on right now. It doesn't work that way. Be patient. Be grateful. Enjoy every experience. Be thankful for all of them. You know, anytime I hear, I get a message or I see something, I feel something, I'm grateful. I send out things like, I appreciate the experience. And not all of it's rainbows and sunshines. You might go through that period of bliss where you're seeing all the synchronicities and it's wonderful. But sometimes in this process, you know, we've talked about it in previous episodes, like my last 6 months, stuff falls away and it may not be the most fun thing. So yeah, just be patient with yourself. Give yourself lots of grace. Don't be afraid to ask questions. Find a community.
Absolutely.
What am I missing?
There's just so much. It's hard to cover in this little comment. I will say before I get started on what I want to say that if you're truly looking to learn on this topic, that is what I created my entire channel about and for. So I literally have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours of free content on how to navigate your spiritual awakening. You know, I try to have them broken down by playlists if there's a specific topic you're looking for, but I'll have my YouTube address down in the description box or the show notes if you are not already familiar. But dive in and just spend some time educating yourself and learning. But meditation, number one, that is and always will be my number one piece of advice, whether you want to or not, whether you think you're good at it or not. I get so many people going, no, I'm not good at it. No, I don't want to. No, I would stink at it. Where there's a will, there's a way. You either want to do this or you will find an excuse. So meditation is so important for developing these gifts. The second thing is, yes, grace. Show yourself grace. It's not easy to change your belief system. It's not easy to go through all of these changes and that are happening in your being as your consciousness expands. It's not easy to have those new belief systems that are also outside. They're not so outside of the norm anymore, but like if you have a Christian family, for example, they're going to be like, she is not one of us. She's not acting right. And they're going to give you some grief about it. So grace, know that you're not doing anything wrong. You're a grown-ass adult and just continue down the path. Take care of yourself. Spend quiet time every day. Quiet your mind. Go dive into that free content. Educate yourself.
Our next question. Well, this will be a good one. So we'd like to see a discussion on astrology for dummies discussed. It's also confusing to me. The numbers, the zodiac signs, and when Mercury retrograde or Venus rising is mentioned, I shut down. I am right there with you. I've only really put my toe in a little bit. I've listened to other people and I was like, wow, this is definitely a rabbit hole I haven't really gone down. It's interesting. I've had some of that done for me by people and, you know, I enjoy it, but I definitely don't know a lot about it. I don't know, Veronica, she's the resident expert.
I would not say that. No, not at all. My daughter is usually the expert, but my daughter has decided she doesn't want anything to do with this stuff anymore. And so she's no longer my available resource. However, a couple of years ago, she did make a video with me on astrology for beginners. I will link to that below for you guys because she explains things way better than I do. We can make another episode on this in the future. We'll add it to the list. But in a nutshell, for right now, where and when you were born, nothing's a coincidence. That was so planned. And that's because everything has energy, right? Everything gives off a specific frequency. So your zodiac sign and your rising sign and all these things, they specifically embody the energy of you at the precise moment you were born, in the precise place you were born. And it lends to the path that you chose to take in this life, the contracts you chose to have, the mission you chose to accomplish, whatever it may be. You needed to have a certain personality. You needed to be able to handle stress a certain way. You needed certain responsibility or lack thereof, things like that. And so you choose when you're born. I fully believe that. So your zodiac sign, your sun sign, that tells what zodiac sign you were born under, like Capricorn, Aquarius, Aries, Libra, etc. That is, it shows a lot about your personality, but your real personality comes from your rising sign. So your rising sign is what represents your personality and whatnot the most. That's who you really are. Your rising sign is the zodiac sign that was on the eastern horizon and rising at the precise moment of your birth. And it changes quick. Like it changed. I don't remember if it's in minutes or hours. I don't remember. But anyways, like I'm a Capricorn sun, but a Taurus rising, and my Taurus rising, I can be stubborn. I like the finer things. Give me some luxury. I want soft, luxurious fabrics. I'm bougie on a budget, but I'm still bougie. And my Capricorn helps me to be responsible. I'm driven. I'm a very driven person. I'm always working on a project. My day off, I'm like, well, I'm going to go relax and do this 3 hours worth of work. Yay. Now your moon sign is, I won't say it's your shadow. It's who you are basically at home with your family, who you are when your guard is down and you aren't on for the rest of the world. It's like the truest you when you aren't out there doing stuff. You're just at home relaxing, who your family sees, for example. So I'm an Aquarius moon, which means like I can be kind of cranky. Like, don't argue with me. As far as Mercury going into retrograde, I have a video where I explain this very, very easily. I'm going to have all the videos linked below. In a nutshell, the Earth revolves, planets revolve. And for example, there'll be a time where it's going like this, it's moving forward, but then it starts coming back around the other side of us, which makes it look like it's going backwards. It's not, but this is direct. This is retrograde when it appears to be backwards. Mercury is said to be in control of things like travel, communication, the fine print of things. So when it is retrograde and backwards, the things it's in charge of are backwards as well. Your travel plans might fall through. Your flight might get canceled. You shouldn't sign any contracts because something's going to be funky in there. There's going to be something in the fine print that you miss. You're not going into it with the best energy. You might find that you and your partner argue more. You're having trouble communicating. They're not picking up what you're putting down. You say it, but they're not hearing it that way, that kind of thing. So I go into more depth in that video if you're really interested in learning more about that. You just have to start diving in and looking up little videos like, what does my Lilith mean? What does that mean? Like your North Node, that is your purpose in this life. That is the mission that you came in here to take care of. Things like that. When you have a question arise, just look up that one thing. Don't try to eat the whole chunk at a time. Just little nibbles of information and digest it. You can't boil the ocean. Just take a teaspoon at a time and figure it out.
All right. We had a many questions from Natalie and we'll cover some of them. Some of them are good questions that may turn into their own episodes. So we'll spin off a few of these. So the first question Natalie poses to us, trying to understand the transition from 3D to 5D and what this new Earth means. How will we know when it is here and how long does the transition take? Also, what happens to the people who don't ascend? Do our bodies need to change? Well, I don't have any good answers for that. Veronica, I turn that over to you.
Well, I mean, here's the thing, Natalie. It's here, babe. It's here. I think this is one of the fallacies out there. This is one of the myths. So welcome to Mythbusters. It's not a physical new world that you are going to. It is a frequency. It is a way of being. It's ascension. Earth, for many years now, has been going through an ascension from the 3D reality that we know to a 5D reality. And I would say, well, right now, it doesn't feel like most of us. I would say at least half of us, maybe most of the world, but here in America, at least half of us, we're in a solid 4D, sometimes 5D. I think we're teetering there. So in a nutshell, as I said, the Earth normally vibrates at a 3D level, and 3D is pretty dense. It's dense. There's a lot of polarity and duality. There's a lot of black and white, yes and no, right and wrong, agree, disagree. If you're not on my side, you're wrong. And while that can still be true to a point in the other ones, as you start to grow and expand your consciousness, your vibrations start going up, you shift into that more 4D energy where, well, you know, maybe there are some gray areas. Maybe I can kind of see your side. Maybe there is a spectrum of everything that people can be on. Sexuality, gender, other spectrums. Yes, things are not black and white. Sometimes they're in the middle. And that's so much easier to accept. And it's just like of course it's that way when you are 4 and 5D. I hope that makes sense. So anyways, we've been going through this process for quite a while, and we're not going to stop until we're there, because it's time. It's time for Earth to ascend, and you are either on the ride or you're not. You're going to be left in that 3D misery, polarity, anger, judgment, all of that garbage. Or you're going to experience a lighter, more pleasant world where you know that there are better things and your heart is opening and you care about humanity and you want to see everybody have what they need and you want to take care of your fellow human. And the black and white polarity things, they just don't matter to you. It's like, so what? Is that really the priority? Shouldn't we prioritize making sure everybody has food and medicine and love? That's where we kind of are, at least a lot of us. And you can tell the ones that are not, that are still in the 3D. You can see that pretty clearly. And so I know that there are some big misbeliefs or misunderstandings out there about the new Earth. I think it came from one of the Dolores Cannon books. And let me just say this, you guys, there's nobody that loves Dolores Cannon like me. I've read all of her books. I love Dolores Cannon. I have learned so much from her, but she's not infallible. She was a human being. And she was just taking what came through that session with that client and transcribing it. That doesn't mean that 100% all good information came through every time. When she was told that there would be a physical new Earth that lands and that it would only be populated with 144,000 people. Now, to my fellow Christians out there, does that sound familiar, right? So I think that there was a bit of indoctrination in there. I think that there was a bit of Christian theology in there, and it's not a literal thing, just so you know. And we're already there. So as we continue to grow, as humans continue to grow, our world will continue to get better and better and more peaceful and more kind and more loving and more accepting and not so polarized. And that is what that means. Did that clear that up for you too,
Jay? I went on a tangent about this the other day, not on this topic, but the same thing. It's nothing in this world is black and white. Everything is nuanced.
Yeah.
And you can't just look at a singular issue and decide on that singular issue, because there's a wider, it's a broader brushstroke. You're making your decision on the edge when the brush is wide. And I'm being very vague on this on purpose, because this is, you know, this will be a whole different episode. But so many people that they get trapped in their anger, they get trapped in their hate, they'll make a choice based on that one singular nuanced thing. And when I sit there and I look at it and I think to myself, it is not black and white. It is so detailed. You have to look at the full breadth of everything, but they don't. They only want this thing in this moment, regardless of the broader consequence. And it frustrates the devil out of me. But, you know, different episode, different anchor.
Yeah. You know, when you were talking, I was shown this channeling I did by Jesus a week or so ago, very impromptu. I didn't plan to, but like he was there and I said hi to him and asked if there was anything he wanted me to say or to hear. And I wish that I had written it down, but I didn't. So I'm going from memory, but it was the day or maybe the day after TikTok was going away. If you've already seen our Shooting the Shift episode, I was pretty upset about it. Like my heart was hurting, and he used that to give me a teaching moment. And if you hadn't seen that episode yet, in a nutshell, what I was so heartbroken about is because I saw TikTok as this grassroots movement by the people, not by any leaders, not by any politicians. It was just by the people. They're like, hey, I have this skill. Do you want to learn from me? Or, hey, you know, I'm really frustrated and I have nobody to talk to. Let me talk to you about it. Or, guys, I just decorated my living room. Look how amazing it looks. or I'm about to give birth and I'm really scared. And then all the mothers from around the world come and give them love and encouragement, or say, I'm going to pray for you. It was where the world became so much smaller, because the whole world became one little community. And that's also where you learn from each other to, like, it's time to take our power back, and we've got this, and we're standing together. And it was just this grassroots movement of open hearts and people coming together. Jesus, when I was talking to him, he had said, basically, I was allowed to have that view and that experience of TikTok, and many other people too, because we need to take that experience and that viewpoint and shift it to the people of the world, that it doesn't need to just exist to the people who have a TikTok account. We need to take the power back from above instead of up and down and start spreading it out amongst the people, showing the kindness to the people, going back to creating community with the people. And even the ones that we don't necessarily agree with, that are still very 3D, instead of building a wall between us and moving into the 3D ourself, extend love and grace to them as well. Just this grassroots movement of Christ consciousness love going through the world and pulling people together and teaching each other, supporting each other, helping each other grow, help keep each other safe, et cetera, et cetera. And so I'm not sure why they showed that to me right now, but it's a good message to apply.
All right, we'll move on to her next question. Would spirit give us an honest answer, even if it might place us into fear? Or is that a trickster? For example, I started using a pendulum and got carried away with asking questions about the future. One of the responses to a question I honestly shouldn't have asked in the first place deeply, deeply affected me and placed me into fear. And I can't let it go now. I can relate. One time I was messing around on there and I was told I was Hitler in a past life, and it messed with me for a while.
Yeah.
So I finally got to a place where I brushed it off. But in the moment, I finally got to a place where, even if that's true, I didn't do it personally. Yeah. Not me.
Yeah.
Messed up as that might have been. But yeah, I don't think spirit would do that intentionally. But what is your experience?
Mm-mm, not at all. If you're being told any scary information like that just off the cuff, 1000% trickster. For example, I'm not going to share who I was in this past life. You already know, Jay, but I'm not going to share out there, because I mean, it was a big bad life. But anyways, that big bad life, when I was asking about all of my past lives, my guides refused to discuss it with me for years. They kept saying, no, we would never want to fracture you. And that's what they call hurting you, putting you in fear, traumatizing you. They call it fracturing you. At least my guides do. They'd say, no, we don't want to fracture you. He did tell me, you've worked for too many lifetimes now, trying to get your heart open again, trying to be able to hear the divine and be of service to humanity. We would never want to set you back by giving you information that you are not ready for, or that would harm you in any way. And so, no.
What the is villain that? From Ghostbusters 2?
Oh. So no, your guides are loving, benevolent guides who are here to help you heal and to continue down your path. And they will never do or say anything that would cause you harm, that would cause you to feel bad, that would put you into fear. I mean, sometimes you can get angry or hurt when talking to them. I've been there, but that's your ego. That's not them. I guarantee what they said was not meant to upset you. But like when I first started talking to them and I was very unhealed, my heart was not all the way open yet, et cetera. He used to say some things to me or call me out on something, and like it would seriously hurt my feelings, and or it was something would make me mad. And I'd be like, how can you say that to me? You're so freaking rude. And I'd go off and cry, come back to my pension and be like, did you really mean what you said? And he's like, yes. And I'm like, the drama. But it could be as simple as, I used to always say, if this was the last time you could talk to me, what would you suggest I work on today? And there would be times where he'd be like, you might want to work on opening your heart and choosing love instead of anger sometimes. And I'd be like, rude. I'm not an angry person. And he's like, you could choose love more often. And I'm like, that is so hurtful. Now I'd be like, yeah, that tracks. You know, I was hurt but it's not because of what they said. What they said was neutral. I took it negatively. It was my ego. So no, your guides would never tell you anything hurtful or scary or anything on purpose. They have discussed that scary lifetime with me since, because I was ready for it and I kept pressuring them and I kept getting a flash, or I'd see something and I'd get a flashback or like an image and I'd be like, was I that person? And I finally got a yes. And I was just like, oh, no. And they're like, yeah. And since then, I've come to terms with it. I was in resistance for a long time, but I've come to peace with it now because, like you said, what are you going to do about it? We all have light and shadow. And that was that experience that person had. And this is the experience I'm having now. So anyways, what were you going to say?
I was just resisting all my jokes. I did very well and I'm proud of myself.
Feel free to chime in.
You don't
want
to reveal the identity. So I was, there's those opportune jokes. Like, oh, I can't say that. Can't say that.
I don't like to talk about some of my past lives because people can be judgy. And I'm not saying you guys would be judgy because you're perfect. But, you know, I mean, our viewers are perfect. But you never know. Some people slip through the cracks sometimes. I don't like to discuss people that I have. It's been revealed to me that I was in a past life that may be known typically, because you tend to get feedback like, okay, sure you were.
Or
okay,
that one you got, I think that was you. It was weird is because you had that past life experience, but someone else carried it. That's the whole conversation about imprinting. That person was like, no, you couldn't have had it because it was me. And I was like, oh boy, here we go.
And that was before I knew about imprinting. It was when I posted my past life regression where I was shown that I was Josephine Bonaparte. And I mean, that was so real. Holy cow, was that real and emotional. Almost traumatic, very vivid, and makes sense with a lot of the dreams I had been having about these people. Anyways, a lady had responded to one of my videos going, how can you be her? Because I'm told by my tarot reader that because I always get the Empress card, I was her. And I'm like, I don't know what to tell you. I can only share my experience. And she's like, but I get the Empress card. And I'm like, well, I'm sure many people get the Empress card. I don't know what to tell you. Anyways, that's a whole other topic, but she was not happy with me saying that I was that person. So anyways, now I just don't like to reveal who they are.
We'll grab one more of our questions. And the other ones are really good questions.
You just have so many of them. We have to split them up, which is awesome. First of all, let's, before we move on, which is awesome. Thank you guys for responding. Thank you for sending the topics. Thank you for giving the feedback. We've gotten such loving, positive feedback from these last few episodes that we've posted already. I'm so stoked with how much you guys resonate with this and that you're happy with what we're putting out. And anyways, keep it coming because we feel
you're stoked.
Love and we're giving it right
here
back.
Reading these questions, like these are AP class questions and I'm in detention going, man, I should have done my homework.
Well, you know, it's a learning opportunity.
Let me jump into this question. Because this one, I resonate with this question. So is empathy a low vibration? I have a profound feeling of empathy and they come from a place of love, but the feeling itself, much like grief, feels so heavy. Given all the events that's happening in the world every day, I want to send my love via, you know, empathy, but it can easily feel like you're trapped in grief for what others are going through. Mm-hmm. And in the same token, I love to feel gratitude for everything that I have. And I say gratitude affirmations often, but then I feel guilty for having when others do not. How can we balance these feelings and keep our vibrations and manifestations positive? So I'm going to say something that V has had to say to me. And this is just after some of our conversations. Observe, don't absorb. I'm guilty of this. I will take on other people's emotions quickly and I won't know where they come from, but I'm like, why am I feeling grief? Why am I feeling sad? Because, you know, nothing around me was that way. And all of a sudden it hits me. And so this is a lesson for me, just as much as, you know, we're answering this question. Got to learn to absorb it. And I'm talking to me too, but not absorb it. And the inverse is true. I still think about this, and it's only happened once with one of my dogs. The dog ran in and just hopped on me. And then I was just overwhelmed with the feeling of just pure love. It was beautiful. I'm like, man, I want to bottle this, but it was coming off the dog.
Uh-huh.
So it's, you know, no, at that moment, I didn't want to take my own advice. I'm like, no, I want to absorb this, but not all of it's going to be pleasant. But I don't think it comes from a place of low vibration. It's a gift to be able to feel and help others and know when they're sad. I told V this. I was at the hospital last night with my mother, and I went up to the nurse's station, and I could just feel that the nurse that was looking at me, she was very defensive. So for me, I can use it to help gauge people where I have a hard time with my normal abilities.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think this is a low vibration. It is a gift. You just got to learn how to not absorb it.
Well said, Jay. That's kind of what I was going to say too, is that, you know, observe, not absorb. And it's only low vibe when you decide to absorb some low vibe energy and keep it. You know, if you're around a cranky person and it makes you cranky and you decide to stay cranky, you know, I mean, then yeah, now it's lowering your vibes. But no, not if you're observing and not absorbing, only if you're keeping. And only if you're keeping the low vibe stuff. Like you said with your dog, sometimes you get the most beautiful, loving energy. Yeah, some of it can be great. So no, I don't think it's a negative thing. You really have to learn how to shield yourself. It sounds like, though, doesn't sound like you're very practiced at that yet. So I'll try to remember to stick a video on that in the box below as well, because that might help you. Just different ways to shield your energy, ground your energy, request to be aligned with the energy of an oak tree. That'll like pull you right down. It's like spirit grabs you by the hips and just sticks you down to the earth. Yeah, I would practice shielding your energy and recognize what's yours and what's not. And even sometimes when you're having trouble remembering that, if someone's in your face and they're yelling or they're crying or something and you can feel yourself getting sucked in, sometimes I have to physically do this. This is yours and this is mine. This is yours and this is mine. And also, when you leave them, cleanse your energy of them. Do something as simple like they teach you in Reiki to like dry brush the energy off. And I don't want to bump my mic here, but basically you start here and you wipe the energy off, wipe the energy off, and then like flick your fingers.
Jump to the next question. Let's see what we got. We talked about this and I have no knowledge on it.
Uh-oh, do I?
Can you fire your spirit guide? I have never tried this. I've never even had the thought to try this.
Don't, because they'll laugh at you. Don't, because they'll laugh at you. No, you cannot. I have personally seen people saying that you can. I've seen this one woman going, you run the show. And if they're not doing what you tell them to do and what you want, fire them and get a new one. It doesn't work that way. You know, there's a bigger picture than your ego right now. You signed a contract for this life. Your higher self has a plan for this life. You do have free will to a point, but there are some things built in. One of those things are your guides. And they're probably some of your best friends, really. Like, you really love them. You're just kind of being a butthole right now. And they're going to sit around and poke fun at you. If you're like having a temper tantrum, like, I'm going to fire you. They're probably showing up like, oh my God, I got the popcorn. What's she doing now? Oh my God, she's acting so crazy. This is hilarious. They're going to laugh at you. No, you can't fire them.
Thing is, I've never even had that thought. For me, I look
me
at
either.
It like,
I love
I don't know the overall plan. So just because I want to do something doesn't mean anything. We've had that conversation. That's the, what's the saying? Want to make God laugh? Tell him you have a plan.
Right. Well, I was just going to say, like, maybe you should do some shadow work or drilling down into like, what would the reason be that you'd even want to fire them? I mean, if it's because you have negative things happening in your life, perhaps, and this is just hypothetical, I don't know. I'm just coming up with possible scenarios. Like, nothing's been working out in your life and stuff. That's a you problem, hon. That's you. You attract what you put out. You attract who you are. You may want to do better. You may want a better life. But the things are not going to come until you raise your vibrations, change your frequency, and then slowly start building that momentum towards a better life, if you will. Like, if you are a Debbie Downer or you're super depressed because the love of your life broke up with you, but like people around you are telling you, like, you got to get back out there. No, you don't. Not until you feel better and you're super happy and you're fine being on your own. Because if you're mopey or you're heartbroken or you're sad, those are all low vibrating frequencies. You may not match or attract with someone who's also mopey and sad. You might, But you might get an, you might attract some low vibrating energy of someone who's just hateful and a jerk and abusive or toxic. Low vibration attracts low vibration. High vibration attracts high vibration. So if you want good stuff with your money, start putting out good energy that attracts good things. Same in dating, same in your health, same in all the things. You attract who you are, and your guides don't have anything to do with that. So I'm not assuming that, I mean, I guess I am assuming that that's what your question was about. But if not, you know what? Leave it in a comment and let us know. We'll address that too.
Taco truck. That's what I'm trying to attract.
I have attracted a lot of taco trucks, which is why I've gained like 20 pounds.
It's 20 pounds of happiness. Let's be honest.
Was just like I said in the I made a video recently about my low spend year. I was like, I'm gonna do a low spend year because I kind of overdid it in the last year. I ate a lot of good food, I spent some money on some things I like, and I don't regret a second of it. I had the best time. I never had a taco that didn't make me happy. But you know, all things in balance, so it's time to rein it in a little bit for a while. But yeah, I did manifest those taco trucks. They were delicious.
We've got through the bulk of them for today. Any other topic you want to cover on viewer requests that I may have forgotten?
No, I don't think so. How are you? Let's just chat for a second.
Doing pretty good. First day of work starting tomorrow. New job. Be exciting, I hope.
Yes, I hope you do great. You're going to wear your new suit.
That's right. It's going to be a fancy day. I haven't been in an office in a long time, so I have to be around people. Ugh.
You got your bag all packed with your pens and your highlighters and your things. You got your phone charger.
I'll take a phone charger. I already got, you know, some paperwork I might need. A new lunchbox so I can take it with me, because I know how I am. If I don't pack a lunch, I'm going to use that excuse to go out and eat. And so I don't need the extra calories and I don't need the spend.
Right. Make sure you take a couple of Dr. Pepper things to put on your desk. He is obsessed with Dr. Pepper, if y'all don't know. Yes, you are. So, yeah, you got to go representing.
I'll figure that out on their own. It'll just happen naturally.
Do you have any idea about this work environment yet? Do you know if you're in a cubicle or an office?
On the third floor. That's where I was told to go. So beyond that, I don't know much.
All right. Well, I'm happy for you. I'm excited for this new adventure for you. I'm excited to see what comes of it.
I'm kind of sad, though. You know, my month of sleep. Well, I didn't really sleep in. I would still get up on time to help my daughter get ready for school. And then, you know, I was catching up on shows I never found time for. So I definitely going to miss that.
Yeah, I get that. It goes fast. The only time I've really had time like that off was probably when I had surgery. The couple of times I've had surgery, I got 6 weeks off. The first 2 or 3 weeks was spent just in misery. So those don't count. So it was more like 3 or 4 weeks off, but it would just go so fast. Anyways, I'm just chit-chatting. All right. Well, thanks for hanging out with us, everybody. If you have more questions, comments, topic ideas, send them our way. If they are big enough to make into a whole episode, we will certainly do that. We'll add it to the list. And if it's something short and sweet we can answer, we will do that. Make sure you check out all the videos I'm going to link in the show notes or the description box, which may help you. All right, you guys, you are loved. Until
next
time.
Thank you, guys.